We truly are thankful, friends, and I want to bring your attention to a passage of Scripture today in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and just two verses where the Apostle Paul describes a very dark moment in his life. And I want to use the thoughts of the Apostle Paul to kind of share just a little bit of an update with you about some of the things that God has been doing and helping us to see and learn in Ukraine during these past difficult months. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Paul says, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." The Apostle Paul here describes an experience that happened at one of the most crucial and difficult moments of his life. And during that adversity, he saw something important. He saw something important about the world that we live in. He saw something important about the God that we serve. And he saw something important about himself as well. And that's what I want us to think about today for a few moments here. We see that Paul saw something important about this world that we live in and what this world does. And you know, over these past months, we've been experiencing with this war some moments that have helped us learn some important things about this world that we live in and what this world does. You know, Paul said here that he was delivered from the mouth of the lion. Paul understood that there are lions in this world. There is evil in this world. He talks about being delivered from every evil work. Paul didn't have on rose-colored glasses, and Paul was not one of these people out there saying, "Well, you know what? Really, man is basically good, and everyone is, you know, deep inside, we're all good by nature." No, Paul was very realistic about the evil that is in this world. We'd all love it, wouldn't we, if there was no sin, there was no sin nature, there was no evil. But that's not the world that we live in, is it, friends? We live in a world that is fallen, a world of evil and sin and even lions who devour others. And, you know, the story, and you've heard us share about how God delivered us last year and how after those 50 days under Russian occupation, God miraculously led us out through those 19 Russian checkpoints, and as we faced those dangers, as we faced soldiers that wanted to actually arrest us and take us into Russia, as we prayed, as we just cried out to God, as many of you prayed and many others, God heard those prayers and delivered us from the mouth of the lion. But now that we've been living in Zaporozhye, which is only about 60 miles away from where we lived before, it's hard to be so close to home, but just inside Ukrainian-controlled territory, and to know that we can't go back home. Oksana's mom and dad are staying at our house right now. A lot of older people, they didn't want to leave. They're convinced that, you know, this is going to go by, and there's going to be liberation and victory, and so, you know, many of them stayed there, and we're in constant contact with them when we can be. It's been about a week now since we've been able to really have a good connection, but every week or so, we're able to, at least for a few minutes, have a connection with some of our friends and family that are still there in our home village, where our church is, where our home is at, where the people we love are. But many, especially the younger families, have evacuated while there was still time. It's now impossible to get in and out at all. The lines are so violent now the lines of conflict, that it's impossible to get in or out of Russian-controlled territory. But while there was still time last year, people were leaving, and there were humanitarian corridors. But as we moved to Zaporozhye and began to live there and minister, you know, we saw people all around us that were facing this evil in this world that we live in. People that are hurting, people that have had to leave everything, people that are grieving, people whose husbands and sons and fathers are dying on the front lines of this war. And you know, we began to pray, God, what can we do to reach out to these people while we're still here? We felt a real peace in our heart as Oksana and the children and I prayed that God wanted us to try to stay at least for a year, because so many, even I have to say, even a lot of Christian ministers had left Ukraine when the war started. And so when we got to Zaporozhye, we thought about just leaving right away, but we saw right away that so many churches were struggling because so many Christians had left out of fear, and there was a real need for people to stay back and to take up that slack and be an encouragement and a light in the midst of the darkness. And so God really laid on Oksana and my heart that if we at all possible, if it's, and we would pray and fast and seek God step by step, but if it was at all possible, we'd try to stay for at least a year and see beyond that what God wanted us to do. And so we began to pray, Lord, what should we do? And we were with you last August. We came for a brief visit, and we shared with you. And as Oksana shared, we were beginning then a ministry to refugees. And, you know, I'm so grateful for Oksana because, you know, even though she has been through pain and suffering this last year, she had to leave her home. She had to leave so much. She has been through a lot of trauma. Our whole family has as well. But God gave her this desire to help relieve the suffering of others. And I didn't know how it was going to be possible, but she began to connect with other people from our home village and our home area and on social media, people that are living in the city of Zaporozhye that had evacuated there. She began to connect with them, and she began to organize them, and we began to gather together for different events where we would give out humanitarian aid. But then we offered to people, we said, now, we'd have a big group, and we'd say, we're giving out humanitarian aid, we're preaching, we're sharing music, and comforting, having times of fellowship with these people. But if you have an interest in drawing closer to God, every Saturday, we're also going to have meetings of Bible study and fellowship. And you know, people started coming to that as well and began to seek the Lord. And that became, as Damara shared, you know, a wonderful, almost like a church service on every Saturday, except these are unchurched people. We have this whole congregation of people. We're reading and we're singing songs like the Prayer for Ukraine, and we're praying and taking prayer requests, and I'm sharing the word. And I got this whole congregation of people who've never been to an evangelical church in their lives. And, you know, they're open and their hearts are hungry. And in the midst of the evil, in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of the pain, we're able to show people a light in the darkness. And you know, folks, I think if there's anything I want you to remember today, it's that whatever dark places are in this world or in your life, there is a God who is there in those dark places. If we'll open our hearts to Him in faith, He is there in those darkest of places. We can testify to that as a family. We've been in places that are dark and are evil, places of suffering, and yet God is there. And you know, as we live alongside those people in Zaporozhye, these Ukrainian people, they watch our response as Christians. Did you know people are watching your response to life, to sicknesses, financial difficulties, conflicts, problems, political issues? People are watching you, whether you know it or not, especially as Christians. They're watching us. And when we're in Zaporozhye, when there's missile strikes and there's suffering and there's people getting bad news all the time, people are watching our response to it. And they're wondering, what is this American missionary family going to say? How are they going to respond? What are they going to do? And they're looking at Christ in us. And that's what it means to be a Christian, folks. And, you know, sometimes as I would join volunteers after a missile strike in our city, Zaporozhye, you know, we would literally be watching as the bodies are being pulled out of these. These are people that they watched the same sunset that we watched last night. They went to bed in the same town. They're our neighbors. And yet Russia decided that they didn't deserve to live another morning. And you know, we as we watch that happen, I saw the grief and the bitterness and the anger and the sorrow and the confusion of people. But they know that I'm a Christian. They know I'm a pastor, and I have the chance to pray with them, to point them to the Lord during those dark hours. Yes, there's evil. There are lions in this world. But thank God there's a light that shines brighter than that evil. And that's the hope we have as Christians in Christ. The hope that is light even in the valley of the shadow of death. And so, in a very real sense, we've been living in that valley of the shadow of death, but God's given us an opportunity to experience a light that is greater than that darkness. So Paul saw something important about what this world is and what it does, but he also saw something important about his God and who his God is. Because he talked here about how the Lord stood with him. Did you notice that? He said, no one stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. That's the faithfulness of God in the midst of the darkest places in life. He talked about how God delivered him and will deliver him. In other words, Paul was hanging on to the reality of God's goodness and faithfulness, even in those dark places that he was in. And folks, it is so important for every one of us to hold on to that fact that God is good. Even when everything in life seems to be assaulting that and trying, and the devil's trying to convince us, no, God isn't good. He may care about others, but he doesn't care about you. You know, there's all these attacks and these things that happen in our mind, and God wants to remind us constantly to hang on to that faith that, no, he is faithful, he is good, and I won't listen to the lies of the enemy. God is good. And we see something important about who God is and what he does even in the darkness. And that's the message that we're trying to bring to the people of Ukraine. The message that God is still real and he's near and he's good and he's faithful even in these dark hours. And that's one of the reasons that I felt very strongly. Oksana and I prayed that I should try to get my military volunteer chaplain credentials, and the Lord opened that door and allowed me to do that so that I would have access with other chaplains to the front lines and to help evacuate people at times and to help visit soldiers and pray with them in those places that are the darkest. You've heard about places like Bakhmut, which has now been almost completely taken over. I think the Ukrainian army still has control over about 1 square kilometer, but the places that you saw on the video right here where I was standing in Bakhmut, those are all under Russian occupation now. The war is very real. It's happening, and I know you're hearing about it less in the news, but people are continuing to die every single day. People are continuing to suffer. They're so grateful for the help of America in the West. And I want to say, I know there's some naysayers that are spouting propaganda and saying, oh, you know, Ukraine's so full of corruption that all the help that America's giving is just going into corruption and it's not getting to the front lines. Nobody's getting the help. I want to say right now, I've been there, and the soldiers, the commanders, they say, we wouldn't be here without this American equipment, without this American help. We wouldn't be a nation anymore if it wasn't for what you've done for us. I've seen with my own eyes what the help that our nation and other nations have given is doing and how it's helping. It's not all disappearing into some abyss. It's not. Of course, every country has issues with corruption, and our own country does, doesn't it? But that's not the issue here. The issue is there's been a nation, a country, a people who have been attacked, and if we don't stand by them, if we just rewrite the rules and say, you know what, if one nation just wants to take over another nation, that's all right. That's how things are going to be from now on. We cannot send that message. And I'm so thankful that, yes, we've got problems in our nation. I understand that. And we pray. But thank God that we are still doing the right thing and trying to stand by a nation that is weak and that needs help right now, a people that are suffering. And we're trying to make that stand and that statement. But I want you to know, as Christians, we need to realize that although that's all important and valuable, it's the prayers and it's the message of the gospel that is going to bring real change. If that's the message, That's what we should be focusing on and praying for. And that's the message that I'm trying to bring as I am with other chaplains on the front lines. And as we go to those places, like in Bakhmut, I remember seeing the suffering there. I remember being kneeling down by one little girl as there's explosion. In places like Bakhmut and Siversk and Velika Novoselka and other places on the front lines that I've been in, there's not a 5 seconds that goes by without the sound of explosions and artillery. And I remember kneeling by this one girl as we were handing out humanitarian aid. She was still there because her grandmother was still there and didn't want to leave. A lot of the older people are scared to leave. They don't know where they're going to go. And I remember talking to that little girl. I had a little dollar, and I was showing her the dollar. I wanted to give it to her, and she was smiling and looking at it. And I was asking her questions, and she was talking. And there's these explosions on the other side of these high-rise apartment buildings to the left and to the right, and the vibrations, and the ground is shaking, and you can feel the waves of these explosions. It's just a reality people live with. And, you know, I'm flinching each time because, you know, when you hear explosion, your natural response is to flinch and to kind of brace yourself. And it suddenly occurred to me as this little girl was talking to me that she didn't even flinch anymore. She had become so desensitized. She had built up so many walls after so many months of living in a basement and living without water, without electric, living with these explosions night and day, that she just kept going on and on as these explosions were rocking us from all around. And I thought, how many little lives, how many lives have been affected in this way, and they're never going to be able to be normal again after this because they've been traumatized. They build up these walls, and someday, her husband's going to say, why can't you respond emotionally? Why can't you? He's not going to understand that something happened to these people. Something happened. These people are suffering. They're being traumatized. I remember a lady that as we were evacuating, she came up and she was crying and she wanted to leave, and we were helping her with her bags. And as we sat in the van, my friend Vadim, the chaplain, was driving us out, and we were getting farther away from Bakhmut, from the explosions, getting closer to Slavyansk, which is relative safety. And I remember that lady, just the older lady, began to break down in tears. And I tried to comfort her. I said, it's going to be okay now. You're going to finally have a night of peace tonight without explosions, I think. It's going to be okay. I know you're hurting. I know you. And she said, no, you don't understand. What am I going to do now? I'm going to be homeless. I have nowhere to go. That's why I've been staying. That's why I've been living in the ruins of my house, because now that I've left, yes, I'm not going to have the explosions, but I'm going to die on the street somewhere. And I said, it's not true. And I opened the Word of God, and I read her the words of Scripture. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. And I shared with her the words of Jesus. And I prayed with her. And I explained to her with Vadim also that tonight we're going to take you to a place where they're going to receive you. They're going to help you with your documents. They're going to help you with a place to stay. You're not going to be homeless. But you know, a lot of people are scared. They're so terrified by what's happening. And what a joy it is as a Christian to not be able to just, to not have to just say, well, I hope things work out for you. No, but to be able to point them to the words of Jesus, our Savior, and to say there's still a God who's faithful. There's still a gospel that saves. There's still a friend who is closer than a brother. And what a joy it is to be able to point people to the Word of God. And we visit people in basements, people that are living. I remember one school in one town that we went to where the whole school was all bombed out, but the basement was still there, so most of the people in that neighborhood were living in the basement. And we went down there. They knew that we were going to be coming, volunteers that day, to share with them, to preach to them, and to bring help. And this one little babushka, this old grandmother, she had made, you know, they don't have fire, they don't have electric, they don't have gas, but they make open fires to cook their food and boil their water. And she had made these Ukrainian pirashki, these like fried Ukrainian meat pies and potato pies, and she had made them, and she wanted me to try them. She said, I knew you were coming today, and I made these fresh. I think it was the most delicious pirajok I've ever had. You know, just to see that love, that desire to kind of try to live a normal life, even in the midst of all that suffering. And what a joy to be able to munch on that little pirajok and then open my Bible and gather around in that little basement with those people and say, I want to share with you the words of life, the words of Jesus, who said, that God so loved the world. He loved you right here in this basement, right here in this war and this evil, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a joy to be able to share that with those people and then to be able to lead them in prayer. As we say the Lord's Prayer together, they all join in. Otče náš, čo jsi na nebesách, nechaj světice jmenu tvoje. They begin to say that. They begin to find comfort in the fact that there is a God who is still good, who is still faithful, even in the midst of this evil, in this darkness. So we see something about what this world is and what it does. We see something about who our God is and what he does. But in these verses, we also see something important about who we are and what our ultimate purpose is. That's what Paul saw about himself. He said, I know that these things are happening so that the message of Christ might be preached through me. And you know, God is able to take even the worst things in this world and turn them around for good to those that love him. And he's doing that in Ukraine right now. He's using even this evil, and he's bringing about good by allowing people to come into the proximity of grace, into to come and hear the message of Christ. Paul said, to him be glory forever and ever. Paul understood it's not about his kingdom. It's not about his glory. It's about him. It's about his glory and his kingdom. And so, you know, as we visit churches as our kids, and I'm so grateful for my children, for the way they minister, for our girls when they came at Christmas time. We had to go to Poland to pick them up because, you know, all the airports are closed. But I drove to Poland across the border, brought them over into Ukraine. They wanted to be there with their family. They wanted to go to the front where we live to be able to serve. And you saw pictures. They Dasha, Diana, David, they entered right into serving and helping. And Damara and Daniel, Delina, that have been with us, they are constantly serving and reaching out. Even like you heard Daniel talk about Sasha and other children, they reach out to those kids and bring them comfort and encouragement. You know, as we play the bells or as we share, as we minister to people, you know, we understand that that's what our purpose is. Our purpose is not to run away from our problems, but our purpose in life is to be faithful where God's put us and to obey him as long as he wants us to be there. That means wherever you're at right now, God doesn't want you to just run and hide from whatever trials or whatever hurts or whatever pain your experience is. He wants you to reach out through that, to learn from that, to grow through that, and to then help others and bring comfort and hope in the gospel, the message of Christ to others through that. And, you know, as we preach to refugees, there's churches around us. And by the way, we see the good and the bad and the ugly. I mean, you see churches in Ukraine that have risen to the occasion, that are helping refugees, that are preaching, that are reaching out, that are serving, that are taking food to the checkpoints where the soldiers are. I mean, they're serving. And then you see other churches, sadly, that are just kind of trying to hide and wait till this all passes over and are missing the opportunity. And I'll tell you, as a family, we have seen both the good and the bad, and it makes me at times wonder, what would happen here to us in America if we were put to that kind of test? Which church would we be? Would we be the church that tries to hide, or would we be the church that would say, no, God's given us, yes, this is going to be hard, this is going to be painful, this is going to be a challenge, but God wants us to serve our age, to serve our people, our neighbors. And you know, as we try to bring that message and try to see what our purpose is to build his kingdom, I'm so glad to be able to look at those refugees. There's one church down the road from us, and they invite me to preach as they do their humanitarian distribution because they say, Scott, you know, a lot of us, even here in Zaporozhye, can't identify so much with these refugees, but you, Oksana, your church, you had to leave your home. You had to escape through the Russian lines. You understand these people. We want you to share with them. And it's such a joy. And every time every day there's a new group of people. There's thousands, tens of thousands of refugees in this city. And so every day they have a sign up for people who have not yet had food and clothing distributed to them. And these are always new people. And every day I say, who here in this church has never been in an evangelical church? This is your first time. And almost every time, everybody. And what a joy it is to share the gospel with these people. For many of them, for the very first time, they're hearing about it. And I've had people, as I finish up, come to me and say, for the first time when you read from the Bible, when you explained it, it made sense to me. I never understood the Bible, but now I understand. People are being able, through this evil, through the suffering, God is using it to advance his kingdom and to touch hearts and to touch lives. And you know, what a joy as I visit the front lines and share with soldiers. You know, I shared with you last summer about a couple that knelt down in our living room and got saved right before they evacuated. We were still under Russian occupation, and this family who Oksana had been ministering to them for years, they came to us and they said, we're going to be leaving to get out of our city here. We want to take our children out of here, but we don't know what's going to happen. And we've thought about what you talked about, what it means to get right with God, to be forgiven of our sins through Jesus Christ. And we don't want to leave without knowing that we're right with God. And they knelt on the floor of our living room, they got saved, and then they left. Well, you know, as we got to Zaporozhye, we reconnected with them. They began to grow spiritually. Anatoly, he joined the military. He's a Ukrainian soldier today. Got another message from him this morning. He's keeping in touch, and he's seen combat. He's been wounded already. He's had friends die. But he is, you know, every soldier has a call sign. They don't call them Anatoly or Vladimir or Sergei or Ruslan. They call them some kind of call sign. Everyone has a soldier has a call sign. And your other soldiers, your fellow soldiers, they choose your call sign. You know what they chose as Anatoly's call sign? Saint. Because he's always talking about God. They know he's always praying. He's growing in the Lord. And so they saw that, and they call him Svyatoy, which is saint, holy. And, you know, one day Anatoly called me up. He said, my commander gave permission. He said, you can come to our army base here and share with the soldiers. And so Oksana and the girls, they gathered together care packages like they always do for all the soldiers. And then I got my uniform and my credentials, and I went to the front there And there was Saint Anatoly. He was waiting. He was so excited. He was so excited to introduce me to his commander, to his men, and to gather in the tent there. And they all gathered around, and I shared the gospel with them. And there was Anatoly beaming, so excited, because he understands he's not just a Ukrainian soldier. He's a soldier for the Lord. You see, he's understanding that it's not about his kingdom, his power, and his glory. God's beginning to help this message to sink into some people that it's about his kingdom and his glory. He wants to shine through the darkness, even in these horrible times of war. When we were just a few days before we left to come back to America a couple weeks ago, we were at a coffee shop with some of our friends, and these are people that also evacuated from our hometown. We didn't even know them before. They didn't even know that they were almost our neighbors, but we've connected with so many people. Some of them say, you know, we knew about your church in the village. We knew about you guys before, but we didn't really know what you were all about, what your church was all about. You know, we didn't really understand. And you know, folks, I want to say, so many years, we planted seeds. You prayed for us. We tried to reach out. We would see a little opportunity here. I mean, if we would, for Easter or for Christmas, invite people from our village, and if two people or three people would show up that were non-Christians. You know, we had our regular little group of Christians there and our children that we ministered to from our village. But if visitors would come, two or three, we were thrilled. We were excited. And now whole auditoriums are filled with these people, with these neighbors of ours. And they say, oh, we didn't know who you were before. We didn't understand all those years. Oh, if only we had known. You know, they've sensed the love of God through this darkness. And this one couple, Nikolai, and his wife's name is Oksana also, we were sitting for coffee with them, and I remember Oksana saying, you know, I'm really close. I've been hearing about what it means to get saved, what it means to be forgiven, and I'm really close. I know I need that in my life. And we just encouraged her, And we meet with people like that. We have them over to our home. We share with them as well as in our services. Well, at the service just before we left, the Saturday meeting, as always, I give an invitation. People can come and get saved. And Oksana was one of the ones. When I gave the invitation, she raised her hand and she ran forward and wanted to pray and repent and be saved. And, you know, I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you that even in this horrible time of war, you're doing something good. You're doing something good. And so, yes, we see something about this evil and this world that we live in. We also see something about our wonderful, faithful God. And we see something about our mission as Christians, what we're called to do and who we're called to be. And my encouragement to you today is be what you are called to be as a Christian. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do as a missionary in my neighborhood, in my school, in my workplace? Yes, you have not allowed me to be in Ukraine. Folks, we didn't ask for this. We were, as you know, for many years, missionaries in a little village, having a children's ministry, a quiet, peaceful village ministry. That's what we thought we were going to do. And then suddenly, everything changed. We didn't ask for that. We didn't seek that. And you know, you are not going to seek some of the things that happen in your life. You're not going to even understand some of those things. But God is going to allow them so that you can be faithful where He's planted you and placed you. And our prayer today as we close should be, Lord, let me be faithful. Let me be a missionary where you've put me so that you, your kingdom, your power, and your glory can be manifest through me, through my church, through my family. And I just want to share with you, just in closing here, what our plans are. And maybe the better way to put it is we don't know what our plans are. you know, we knew that we needed to come back right now. Our son was getting married. Our daughter needed to take her final exams. We wanted to see our churches that have been so faithful to pray for us. Jeremy, Pastor Les, we are so grateful for you as a church and everything you are doing, the elders, the Erica, who has just been so faithful to keep in touch with us. But we wanted to also spend some time seeking God's will about the next step. Because, again, we have children still at home. We don't want to do anything apart from God's will. And so we felt led that God wanted us to stay for a year after the war started as much as possible. But beyond this, we don't really know. We're waiting to see what happens with this much-anticipated Ukrainian counteroffensive right now. Everybody's hoping and waiting for some kind of progress. And if it is possible for us to return to our home village, then we will probably try to do that. If there's a liberation and all those people that we've been ministering to are able to go back home, then we are going to have a wonderful opportunity to be able to speak into their lives. At this point, though, we've decided to wait and see what happens with this counteroffensive. Would you pray for our family that God will give us wisdom? As we are fasting and praying and seeking God about the next step, we need God to show us and guide us what He wants us to do. And so that's our prayer right now, and our request to you is that you would just keep our family in prayer and continue to pray for Ukraine. Continue to pray for the people that are hurting so much. Thank you. Thank you so much for how you have stood by us, how you have supported us. We are truly, truly grateful. God bless you.
Wow. So what happens now? The praise team's wondering that because this wasn't planned, but that's okay. I think what we need to do, what I'd like us to do, is if the Sobeys could kind of gather like right there in the middle of the aisle, and then we could stand and we could pray for them, even right now. So could you guys do that? Could you just stand out there in the middle, and then we as a church could stand, and if you can't get your hands on them, you can put your hands toward them, and we can pray for the Sobeys, and then we'll close the service in worship. But let's do that now. And as our brother was sharing, I was reminded of a scripture that I read even last night from 2 Corinthians. It says, "Thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession." and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. We are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, we're a fragrance of death to death. To another, a fragrance from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? God makes us adequate through Jesus Christ. He's made the Sobeys adequate through Jesus Christ. He says in chapter 4, he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And so let's just pray together. Father, what a glorious God you are. How good you are, as we have been reminded. You are good. You're good, and we don't always see good, but you always do good, and you always are good, and you are faithful. And your gospel is powerful. And Lord, eternal souls are being saved through this tragedy and through our brothers and sisters, Lord, through Scott and Oksana and their family. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have placed them exactly where you wanted them to be, and years of sowing seeds, and Lord, the fruit is just abundant. And so we give you praise. We thank you for every soul saved. We thank you for every person that has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ because of this war. And we pray for their souls. We pray that they would be saved, Father, by your Son, Jesus. Lord, I just want to pray for anybody in this room that has not yet received you as their Savior. Lord, would you even save them today? Help them to call upon your name today, Lord, as their Savior, as their God. Lord, we pray that you bless the Sobeys. Please, Lord, we pray that you would give them wisdom as they are waiting for you. They're waiting on you. They're looking to you. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask God without doubt, Lord. And they are asking, they're fasting, they're praying, Lord. And we know that you will answer them. And we know, Lord, that you will tell them exactly what you want them to do. And so, Lord, as they wait, as they pray, as they fast, as they seek you, Lord, would you fill them with your peace? Would you give them the wisdom that they need, that they so desire, Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom, not for theirs, Lord, but for your glory. We pray that you'd bless this marriage that has taken place, and Lord, that you would bless the new job opportunities and things that are going on in the Sobey family. We thank you for that. Thank you so much for them. Thank you, Lord, for allowing them to be part of us and for us to be a part of them and for bringing them here today. And Lord, we pray all of these things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.